How would you like to work at Bronner's in Frankenmuth? It's Christmas there, 364 days a year, they say. Can you imagine going to work tomorrow morning and saying, okay, here we go, guys. It's only like 361 days to Christmas now. It'd be depressing, wouldn't it? It'd be depressing, I think. It's a little song. Years ago, I went to the library, got a recording, came back, played it with my family. And then we purchased it. We have had this recording every year since. It's a little song. It goes like this. It's not the glow you feel when snow appears. It's not the Christmas card you sent for years. It's not the joyful sound when sleigh bells ring, nor the merry song children sing. The little gift you send on Christmas Day will not bring back the friend you've turned away. So may I suggest the secret of Christmas, it's not the things you do at Christmas time, but the Christmas things that you do all year through. Well, that little song is a nice little song. It's certainly not a full-orbed theology of Christmas, but it has a kernel of truth to it. It's not the things you do at Christmas time, but the Christmas things that you do all year through. Today I want to talk to you, real simple message today, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to keep Christmas joy going all year long. You don't have to think very hard to get this message today. It's pretty simple. But you do have to stay awake. And I will be watching to see that you're awake. All right? So don't make me come down, tap you on the shoulder. I know it's been a long weekend for you. And so that's my threat today. Stay with me here. And I want to share some things. I want you to imagine maybe you just stopped by the study and sat in my rocking chair. And I want to share some things from the Bible that I really think will be helpful to you about how to keep Christmas joy going all year long. In one of the birth narratives of Christ, this beautiful one found in Luke chapter 2, you have, of course, the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, which we all love so much. And one of the things, obviously, they said, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, and that in just like once a year. Let me tell you before I start what the central truth, the big idea of my message is, and so you don't miss it. It's this, just as simple. For a believer, Christmas joy will continue as long as you keep doing the things that make Christmas such a wonderful time of the year. For a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a person whose faith is in Christ, Christmas joy is going to continue as long as you keep doing Christmas things. And so here's the thing I was just thinking in pastorally today is that it's a little hard not to feel a little bit let down a couple of days after you've exerted so much energy and so much effort and you put so much of yourself into the celebration of Christmas the way we do it. It's a little hard not to be a little bit blue. And so I want to help you today in this by sharing six things that you can do, six Christmas things that you can do, and it keeps Christmas joy going all year long. Here they are. One is worship. Keep worshiping. That's one of the things that makes Christmas so wonderful. When you worship the Lord Jesus, keep worshiping Him. That's what our songs mention from Matthew chapter 1 that the Magi did. They came and they had the good sense to worship. Get down on their face and worship Jesus Christ. It's not just something for one day a year. Obviously, that's for all year long. And maybe even it's better once the holiday hubbub kind of settles down. Maybe your worship is actually going to increase when you have a little bit more time. Can I suggest that you also include submission and confession to the Lord, that you sincerely embrace the Lord Jesus as the King, as the Lord of your life? And you think about that every day. And that's not something you just do at Christmas time. That's something that you can do all year long. I told you guys a story once, some of you that were here on a Sunday night, I told this story. It was kind of humorous because later on I listened to my own message. Do that every once in a while. And I messed it up. I messed the story up. So I'm going to tell you the whole thing, and I want to tell it right today if I can. So I left off a really important part. So let me, if you hear, you may have heard the story again, but you never heard it right. So let me tell you the story again. My wife and I were in Naperville, Illinois, and we're walking on the street one day. There's a lot of restaurants and stuff there, and we decided to go to Naperville and kind of walk along the river and go to a restaurant. It was a nice evening. And as we got out of the car, we saw some money blowing. And my wife has always noticed this money blowing around. And she picked up that money, and I said, "Give it to me." She said, "No, she's not going to give it to me. Doesn't work that way," she said. So she kept the money, all of it. And I think it was $2, something like that. And as we were walking along, we're kind of hurrying along in the evening. There's a lot of people. There's this kid, and he was just enthusiastically playing the guitar, a street musician. He has a guitar open on the street in front of him, and he's just wailing on this thing, you know. He's really singing, and he's really playing, and as we walk by, and I have a heart for people like that. Like, the guy's got, is bold enough to sing on the street, you know. I'm like, hey, give him the money. Lois, yeah, we'll give him the money that we found. And so we didn't have time to stop and listen to him. We just walked by, dropped the money in the guitar case, and kept going. Now, here's the part I left. I told you that before, but here's the part I didn't really make clear. And I think it's really significant. And that is, what do you think that kid wanted more than anything else? Do you think he wanted money in his guitar case? Maybe. Maybe he did. But if he's an artist, if he's a musician, if he's a creative type, there's probably something he wanted more than the money in his guitar case. That's for somebody to stop and go, wow, I like that song. You're doing a good job. And just to stop and drink in the music, drink in his expression, right? If you're a musician, that's probably the way you are, isn't it? It's true if you write, you know, it's not so much. And if you want to give me a lot of money for singing, that's cool. I'll take it. But you don't just want somebody to give you money for what you do. You want them to be with you. You want them to love you. You want them to appreciate you. Every analogy breaks down, and this one certainly does, but the Lord Jesus doesn't just want kind of a bit of a tip while we go on our way and don't spend time with him and love him, appreciate him, but he desires and he deserves our attention, our love, our praise, our thanksgiving, our worship. And that's not just a Christmas thing. We get a reminder of that at Christmas time. But that ought to be an everyday thing, that worship. That's one, worship. Here's another one. Giving. You can worship and wonder all year long. You can give. You can find creative ways to give. And in particular, you can give in secret. You ever notice at Christmas time, often what we try to do is give in secret, or if nothing else, we try to give a gift and not let people know ahead of time what it is. We're always kind of like sneaking around and we're doing Christmas. That's what we do at Christmas time. And it goes way, way, way back to a tradition that was rooted with a pastor back in the 4th century, Nicholas of Myra. And, of course, all kinds of fanciful, legends have grown up around Nicholas of Myra. But he was a real person. And one of the things that he did, they say, was that he saw that there were some young ladies in a family without a dowry. They would be likely to have a very difficult life, to say the least. And so he came along secretly and threw money to them, gave them this money in secret. That's a biblical idea. Listen to Matthew chapter 1. This is from the Lord Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Take heed, you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Hey, you can keep giving all year long. You can look for people who have needs. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to have a lot. Like the way the Bible puts it, some of you have two coats. Some of you have a lot more than two coats, right? Your closet are all stuffed full of stuff, doesn't fit anymore. Look for skinnier people than you. Give your skinny stuff away. I just got to thinking, I could, yeah. Anyway, so worship is one thing. Pray for me, folks. So giving is another. You can give in secret all year long. By the way, if you don't like bluegrass music, I worry about you and your salvation. If you ever get a chance to listen to Ricky Skaggs' song "Spread a Little Love Around," Ricky Skaggs is a believer, loves the Lord, and he's written this song about doing simple, kind, good deeds. It's a biblical idea. There's something very powerful about that. Well, that's one of the things that makes Christmas such a delightful time is you get to see people's eyes light up with happiness because you've given them a secret gift. Well, that's a Christian thing. That's a biblical thing, but it's not just a Christmas thing. So continue to be a giver. Share what you have, even if it's something small, even if it's something creative, like you're going to do the dishes for your little sister. Or you're going to wash wouldn't it be cool? How many of you men would love it if your teenage son would give you a coupon book that's good for a car wash a week all year long? That's a great idea, isn't it? Anyway, that's thought of that, yeah. Maybe it would bring you joy. It does, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive. It does bring you joy to give, doesn't it? Pastor friend told me one time, he said a woman came and she was struggling with depression. And I speak very carefully when I talk about depression because I know it's a very difficult, deep-rooted thing for some folks. So I'm not speaking lightly about this, but just sharing ideas and hopeful ideas. But she came to the pastor said, go to the street vendor, get a dozen roses. He says, I want you to go down here to this rest home, and I want you to give the roses away one rose at a time, and I want you to have a conversation with a person that you give the rose to. And then I want you to come back, and I want you to tell me how you're doing. She never came back. One time he bumped into her, he said, whatever happened? She says, Pastor, I'm too busy helping people to be depressed anymore. Well, it doesn't always work that way, I'll tell you. But it may. It may be that kind of thing where you just find people to love and give secretly. So one way to keep Christmas joy alive all year long is to keep worshiping the Lord Jesus. Another way is to keep giving in secret in particular. Here's a third way, love, simple love. You can find creative ways to show people love all year long. Isn't that one of the reasons why Christmas is such a wonderful time? And the Bible says that love never fails. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails. A very powerful thing. Find creative ways to love people. Show people your love all year long. And you think about it. If we're going into a recession, obviously we're in a recession. There's kind of dire warnings about it getting even worse than this. That's just kind of all bad, isn't it? You just tend to think, that's all bad. And I could kind of like check all the boxes and why that's such a bad thing. And it really is a hard thing. But a recession is an opportunity for us to help people. Recession is an opportunity for us to love people and to help people. It's like a bad snowstorm, you know. If you're a young kid with a strong back and a weak mind, a strong back and a bright mind, and you have a snow shovel, and the snow comes, you can make money. It's an opportunity to make money. But it's also an opportunity just to go around and help people. I remember one time in Springfield, Missouri, I got my car off the road in the snow, and these guys came along with a pickup truck, and they jumped out, and they go, let's get you out of it, a big pickup truck, the big, you know, four-wheel drive pickup truck, and they were just having a great time. And I look at them kind of cynical. I say, how much are you going to charge? They go, we're just having a good time helping people. And they hooked that log chain on, pulled me out of there. See you later. That's a Christian thing to do. So love people. That's a powerful thing. I know a pastor, he's with the Lord now, and he pastored a church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was really, really eager to be a soul winner, to tell people about the Lord. And he had a little trouble. Sometimes he'd wake up in the night. And so he decided what he would do is when he woke up in the night, he would go out in the garage, he would get a gas can, he would put it in the back of his car, and he would go out. He lived in Atlanta. It was a major metropolitan area. Lots of people on the outer belt drive there. And he would go out on the highway. He would just drive around Atlanta on the outer belt. He would wait until he found somebody broke down out of gas in the middle of the night. He would pick him up. He intentionally had an empty gas can. He said, well, hop in. We'll go get some gas. That gave him an opportunity to witness to the person while he was going to get him the gas and bring it back. Think of creative ways to find people who are broken down in life. And they're all over the place. You know that. And I know many of you are already doing this. It's just an encouragement. That's not just a Christmas thing. But legends kind of grow up around people doing that kind of thing at Christmas time. That's a Christian thing. That's a wonderful thing. And it's a joy-giving thing. When you worship all year long, then the joy continues. When you give all year long, then the joy continues. When you love all year long, then the Christmas joy continues all year long. Here's a fourth thing. Sing and rejoice. And I want to stop right now. And I want to say an official thank you, Pastor Pine. Thank you, musicians of Evangel. Thank you, choirs. What a wonderful season of singing and music it's been. My heart is just thrilled. I've cried buckets of tears while I've been listening to the beautiful, Christ-exalting music of this church. And I don't know, you know, it's like the groups are all gone by the time the little thing is over. And we want to emphasize, you know, giving the gospel to people. So we don't really do a lot of, like, patting you on the back. But I just want to stop right now and just say, one of the things I am thrilled about this church, is when I invite somebody here, I know that I'm going to be happy that they got to be a part of watching people who know the Lord give an expression in song. And so thank you, Evangel Choir. Thank you, young people. Thank you, Pastor Pine, and all of that that helps so much effort, so much labor, so much energy goes into tearing down and building up and all of that. I think it's a valuable thing. And over again, the auditorium fills up with people whose hearts need to know about Jesus Christ. And they need to see Christian people as people who have a song in their heart, happy, joyful people who have something to sing about. And it's done so beautifully here. I just want to say publicly, thank you for that. Thank you so much. See, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. And we know it's the Lord who inspires that song. And without Him, we'd have no song. We'd have no reason to sing. And so that applause is a way of saying to the Lord, we love you. We thank you. We rejoice. And that's a Christmas thing, isn't it? The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen. Mary burst into song, a beautiful song. I love the song of Mary. Isn't it amazing? It's kind of like, did you know this? Somebody said that Mary was probably like a teenage girl. Maybe 14, maybe 15 years old, in her song, she bursts into song, and in her song, as a teenage girl, listen to this, she makes 30 references to Old Testament passages of Scripture. She makes 30 references to all in her song. That's powerful, isn't it? When we speak, when we sing, we ought to speak and sing as the oracles of God. Our talk and our song ought to be filled with evidence that we are people who pour over God's Word, who love God's Word, whose hearts are filled with God's Word. Listen to what the New Testament says about this. Acts 16:25. Here's an example. Paul, Silas, praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In the middle of the night, in the prison, they were singing hymns to God. They obviously had, they didn't have PowerPoint there. They didn't have hymn books there. These songs were spilling out of the hearts of these men. These men had songs on their hearts. Love that. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever we come together, each of you has a song, a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let everything be done to edify. Songs edify. And we can have a song in the night. Ephesians 5:19, evidence of the Spirit-filled life, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing, making a melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a Christmas thing, but that's a Christian thing. And one of the ways that you can continue to have Christmas joy throughout your entire year is to continue to have a song in your heart. Sing to the Lord. Here's another one. You know I'm going here. Colossians 3:16, a parallel passage to the Ephesians. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit or you're filled with the Word of God, the result is the same. You're going to sing. You're going to have a song in your heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The biggest book in the Bible is a song book. And our hearts need to sing. James 5 in verse 13 says, anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. That's what the Bible says. So sing as a family. Sing in your car. Have your heart filled with singing. That's a Christmas thing, but it's a Christian thing. You want joy to go all year long? Keep worshiping Him, even though Christmas is over. And keep giving, even though Christmas is over. And keep loving, finding creative ways to love people. Even though Christmas is over. Keep singing, even though Christmas is over. Let me give you a fifth one. Welcome others. Show hospitality. You can show Christian hospitality all year long. You know, you're familiar with what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, that's an interesting passage, isn't it? Show hospitality. Like, make people feel... help people know that you really love them and that they're important to you. That's a hospitable heart. That's one of the things. Isn't that one of the things that makes Christmas so wonderful? It's like you're going to invite people over. You're going to bring people in all up and down the street. The driveways are all full of cars and people have come. And now you put on your best dish or your favorite dessert or the coffee's on. And you say, I'm so glad you're here. Well, that's not just a Christmas thing. That's a Christian thing. And that's a thing that brings joy to us. And you can keep doing that. People need hospitality in any way that you know how to express it. This is what the Scriptures say. There should be a welcome on. That's the way Christian people should be. I pastored a little church in the country years ago. And we didn't have the resources this church has or the people, just a smaller group. And maybe there were a couple of hundred people going to be there for Sunday night, for the Christmas service. And I wanted it to be really, really special. And so I brainstormed about ideas that would make it really special. And I heard about a practice that they did in Mexico and in the Southwest. And I called a guy in a church. This guy's name was Gary. Gary was a server guy. He's the kind of guy that he wasn't necessarily a big creative guy. He'd come up with ideas on his own. But if you had an idea, he would make it happen. What a precious man. And Gary and Jane, I called Gary on the phone. I said, let me tell you my crazy idea. Tell me if you think this would work. I told him the idea. He said, Pastor, don't even think about it anymore. We're going to make that happen. So Gary took his pickup truck. Now, what I didn't realize was the thing I was asking him to do was a tradition from the Southwest for a very important reason, because the ground doesn't freeze down there. What I was asking him to do was a hard thing to do in Central Ohio where the ground is frozen. He went and he got a pickup truck load of sand. He called me back. He said, I got the sand that we need. He says, but I'm going to have to store it. Can I use your garage to store the sand so the sand is warm so it's not frozen together? I said, okay, fine. So he backed. Do you remember this, Les? He backs it. You don't remember this, do you? When I tell stories, you're supposed to nod over there. Just go, yep, yeah, that's right. That's all you got to do here. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I remember. You remember the result, I'm sure. When I tell you this, you'll remember. Anyway, boy, that doesn't work out very well there, does it? Like, can I get a witness? No. Okay, well, anyway. So anyway, he comes, he puts his sand in our garage, under the house there, and then on the day, all day long, the day of our Christmas program, he takes these hundreds of candles that his wife went and found a deal on hundreds of candles, because we didn't have a lot of money. He went and he got this sand, and he brought it and kept it warm so it wouldn't be frozen together. And then he and his family, all day long, the day of that program, they went and set out 200 or 300 or 400 luminaries all over the church property, all coming in the driveway of the church property, lining the entire parking lot. It was so beautiful. When the people came for the service that night, the welcome was on because they had gone to the effort for just a few hours, really a few minutes time. As the worshipers came, they saw that the welcome, and that was the tradition, was to welcome the Christ child. Well, Jesus said, if you want to welcome me, welcome the least of these. Go to effort to put a welcome onto people. There are people who long for your hospitality. There are people who think it's a great privilege to spend a little bit of time with you. There are people who, if you said to them, can I buy you a cup of coffee? It would put a big smile on their face. That's a Christian thing to do, and it'll give you joy too. It's a Christmas thing. It's a Christian thing. It'll bring you joy. I'm going to tell you one more, and this is probably the most powerful one. It's simply witness. You can proclaim the good news of salvation all year long. And that is the one thing that makes Christmas especially wonderful, because it is the good news that a Savior has come to this world. And every man and every woman desperately needs a Savior, because we're lost in our sin and dying and going to hell without Christ. With a Savior, however, I was in a bank. I think it was yesterday morning, I went to the bank. Girl's there, and I'm just so clumsy. I see this girl. She seemed like a nice girl. I wanted to witness to her, but there's people in line behind me. I don't have much time. So I say, and I'm not recommending that you witness this way. It was kind of clumsy. I say, you go to church anywhere? She goes, I used to. I go, oh, my goodness. I said, I'm a pastor. I would love for you to come visit our church. She said, where is it? I said, it's on the corner of Telegraph and Pennsylvania. By the way, one of the things that we can thank the Lord for, people know where this church is. That's a stewardship. That's a responsibility we have. People know where this church is. And many people have been touched by this church. If we talk about it, talk about the Lord, talk about this church, because this church is about exalting Jesus Christ and helping people. I said to this precious girl, I said to her, I love her. If you come and visit, she goes, I went to your church. I went to your church when I was growing up. I went to Awana. I really liked it. And I really do need to get back into church. I said, wonder how many people, this is not isolated, you want to talk to people, lots of people intend to get back into church. They do. And what does it take for those people to get back into church? Well, it might take a number of things, but one of the things that often people will come back and will hear about the things of the Lord is if they're invited. It's just that simple. If they're invited. If you love them, you care about them, you say, hey, you ought to come to church. We'll go to Taco Bell afterward or whatever. You know, we'll spend some time together. You'll like it. Just a thought. course, obviously, that's not a witness. That's an invitation to church. I would suggest that maybe if you need a New Year's resolution, that one of the things that you consider doing this year is decide you're going to get better at making the gospel really clear. What a wonderful, powerful thing it would be if all of us, young and old alike, said, I'm going to be an expert at making the gospel clear to people. I'm going to give the gospel to people. Think about that. If you're confident because you've studied that, you're confident. What if you call somebody on the phone and you say to them, I'd like to meet you, Bob Evans, because there's something on my heart that I really want to talk to you about. And then they come to Bob Evans, you buy them some chicken noodles, and you say to them, hey, let me tell you why I ask you to come here. Because I don't want to go to heaven without you. And turn a placemat over and draw the bridge illustration for them. Chuck, you remember doing this with that boy Scott? This kid inquired about the Lord. We went to this coffee shop in Newego. We took two and a half hours we sat there that night. And we shared the gospel with this guy. And he listened. And he's walking with the Lord today. He knows the Lord. Now that would be, would that put some joy in your soul if you helped somebody find their way out of darkness and into light? That would just have to bring joy to your soul. I want to suggest that maybe that's just one of the ways that you could do it. I love Larnell Harris. Some of you probably heard him sing. He also had a Christmas song that we used to have a tape of this and play it around the house. I wish I could show you a video of this. I wish somebody could sing this song today. I got to just read you the words. But I'd love for you to hear Larnell Harris sing this, or one of our singers sing this. Here's how it goes. He braced the old ladder with all of his might, and he shouted, Dad, have no fear, as I stretched high to store the stockings and trim in the attic for another year. We were busily packing our Christmas away while singing a carol we knew, when I heard my son in innocence inquire, Did we store away Jesus too? All year long, we must worship it day by day. All year long, it's the season to obey. May the Christmas tree lights and the sleigh rides at night remind us all to stay in God's presence all year long. Amen? Amen. Pastor.